Hey, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I wanted to teach on the gift of tongues tonight. It's been a while since I've taught at an Afterglow. We've talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's where somebody says, Holy Spirit, I'm open to all the gifts that you'd have for me. It's something where a person willingly allows the Holy Spirit to fill them, and they receive gifts and then have to put it into practice from there. We talked about prophecy. Prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians 14, is to edify, exhort, and comfort. And the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, and those are prophetic gifts as well. The word of knowledge is something that is for an individual. If you get a word of knowledge, it'd be something where you'd be sharing, and it would have to do with an individual. You may know that it is the individual in particular, or you may not. A word of wisdom is also something that is used at an afterglow, and this speaks about something for the larger group. And so if you had a word that would be for a corporate body, that's something that would be used at that point. So gift of tongues, who can have this gift? Good question. The answer is anyone. Anyone that the Holy Spirit gives it to. But we should be desiring all the gifts, especially to love. But this passage tells us that it is open to really to anybody. That doesn't mean that everybody has a gift of tongues. So don't misunderstand that. Some people have it, some people don't. The gift of tongues, just as at an outset, it is about a covenant agreement to communicate with someone. Just like we're doing right now. We have an agreement that certain words mean certain things. And in our culture, we can agree to that. There's a covenant in that. It's an agreement. And so is the gift of tongues. And so tonight what I want to do is I want to share with you about this covenant agreement with tongues that we have with God. So let's go ahead and look in verses 1. We'll start in verse 1. And this is about edifying of the body. Verse 1 says this. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so we see here that Paul's writing. He's coming off of chapter 12, where he's talking about the different gifts. Chapter 13, he's talking about love. And then he comes to chapter 14, and he's saying, you should desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you should prophesy. I'm not going to get into prophecy, but you, if you have this gift, you literally, more than probably any other gift, you rob the body of Christ when you don't exercise that gift. And I know this tonight's about tongues, but prophesy, it edifies, it comforts, it exhorts. And so it's absolutely critical. Look at verses 2 through 4. We see the parameters here. So if you have questions about the gift of tongues, if it's something that's has worried you in the past, some people have, you know, problems with it. Some people have seen it abused in churches. We just go straight from the word. And this is what God has laid it out to say. And so verse 4 or verse 2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So verse 2, the boundary for gifts, the gift of tongues. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, right? Just real clear. It's straightforward. So if you go to a church and they're speaking in tongues and then people are saying that it's something where you're saying something to another person in tongues, that's not what this says. When you're speaking in tongues, it's a communication to God. And we need to absolutely make sure we understand that. These are the boundaries that we have. So tonight, if we exercise our gifts and somebody says, I've got a tongue, and they say, shandala, 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 whatever, you know, and they say all this, the words, right? That's not, it could be a word, but I'm not using it as that. But they speak in tongues. And then somebody interprets and said, you know, this is a word for someone here tonight. That's not what the gift of tongues is used for. Is that clear, everybody? All right. If you're taking notes, a couple of passages you want to write down. We see the gift of tongues really first come to the church in the book of Acts chapter 2. In verse 11, it says that these people who were not Christians, they heard these things in their native tongues. They were from different countries. It was a feast they had come back for. The gift of tongues was being operated, exercised. And they said in verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So it's something where you're just praising the Lord. So when you have the gift of tongues, it literally is just connecting with the Lord. It's like a form of worship. Acts chapter 10, verse 46. Here's the testimony on the gift of tongues. It says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So it makes God larger. It enlarges him, blesses him. I'm going to skip over verse 3, which deals with prophecy. Let's look at verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So just so we're all on the same page, when you speak in a tongue, you get blessed. You get blessed. It's just like, for me, the principle is exactly like worship. We come in here, there's some songs, we lift up praises to the Lord. The thing is no matter what you give to the Lord, you cannot give him. So if you're praising him in tongues, you end up being blessed more than what you would be giving to him. He's never going to be in debt to man. And then look in verse 5. Verses 5 and 6 deal with the practice. Look at verse 5. It says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So Paul, speaking in present tense, he says, I wish you all were speaking in tongues. I wish you all had this gift. Whenever you teach on spiritual gifts or whenever the gifts are being taught on, you'll see some people perk up at certain gifts. People are wired differently. You talk about evangelism, some people, they just, man, they get all excited and they move in their seats and they're just like, yeah, shaking their head. And then other people are like ready to fall asleep. And same is true with leadership and giving and teaching. And the gift of tongues, some people, I mean, they're like, I love listening to this. I'm excited about this. I want the gift of tongues. Or I believe I have the gift of tongues, but I haven't exercised it enough. So this is like speaking right to them. But there might be some people that say, you know, I have absolutely no desire to have the gift of tongues. But Paul says, I wish you all did. Wish you all did speak with tongues. And then you guys understand the rest of the verse talks about how prophecy is greater because it edifies the whole body. If you prophesy tonight, it's going to build up the whole body. Everybody's going to be able to understand it rather than tongues being exercised and no one really understanding it. The word for tongues in the Greek is glossa. It means two different things. One, a tongue. The other, a dialect. And so have you ever had those times where you want to express your love and your passion for the Lord and then you just come to a roadblock and you just feel like, I just can't express it like I'd like to. That's where tongues can take it to a different level. Husbands, have you ever had your wives say, tell me, dear, how much you love me? And you go, you're pretty. You smell good. Well, if you had the gift of tongues for your wife, then you could speak in a way that would elaborate on that. I know. All right. That's funny, isn't it? That did come out kind of funny. Am I getting red? I feel like I'm getting red right now.
Yes, you are.
Look at verses 7 through 9. I'm going to read this. It's talking about the purpose. And so it's like the trumpets. Paul's going to use the sound of trumpets and how they had distinct sounds. And in the same way, these gifts have distinct purposes. Verse 7 says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongues words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. So Paul is saying, if you're not speaking with clarity, then how would anybody understand what you're doing? So if somebody speaks in tongues and there's no interpretation, it really is pretty fruitless for everybody else except for the person who's exercising it. Certainly on a knowledge level. When I speak in tongues to praise the Lord, I don't understand all the praise that I give. I can have a thought in my heart where I'd be saying, God, I appreciate your faithfulness so much. I love you for this. But that doesn't mean I'm saying those words. Does that make sense? I believe the language that I have is an angelic, a heavenly tongue. I always wait to hear somebody say some of the words that I repeat. If I ever come across them, I probably would go up to them and start speaking in tongues and see what they would do. But I have never came across anybody who speaks with the same types of words that I have. I don't know where you guys are at with that, but that to me, that's kind of would be pretty cool to just start speaking in tongues and somebody say, do you know what you're saying? I don't. Tell me. Interpret. There were a group of pastors up in Arrowhead, California, and they went to, it was at that time a Holiday Inn, went into the banquet, one of the banquet rooms, and were having just a pastor's fellowship, and they were having Bible studies, and Pastor Chuck was encouraging all the men, and then at the very end, they said, well, we're going to break into an afterglow now, and so they began exercising the gifts, and then one person spoke in tongues. There was no interpretation. And according to 1 Corinthians 14, they stopped the service, which is what we would do as well. And they waited. They just waited upon the Lord and then went back to praising him. They closed the service out. Afterwards, the bartender, they had to have a bartender there, and they were paying for it. So the guy was Persian. And so he said, this guy who spoke, he spoke perfect Farsi. And I said, well, what did he say? He just kept magnifying God. He kept saying great things about God. And he interpreted it. And then the guy ended up saying, I want to accept the Lord. And he accepted the Lord right on the spot. So I would love it if I could share something in a tongue and run into somebody who actually spoke that language. But all that to say, I think mine's more of a heavenly tongue. Or I'm making it up. Just joking. Just joking. That's a joke. Look at verse 13. I'm just going to jump through. There's a lot here, but it is not a verse by verse through 1 Corinthians 14. But look in verse 13. Verse 13. Excuse me. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. If you have the gift of tongues, you speak in a tongue, then pray that you'd be able to interpret it. That's a good thing to do. That's a right thing to do. If you have the gift of interpretation, and some people I've heard, they just go, I just feel like this is what the Lord's saying. And it's going to be pretty close to the same interpretation. So if somebody says, you know, blah, 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 and they do that for about 30 seconds, and somebody gets up and says, what they're saying is God is good. I don't usually accept that that's a real interpretation. There's two different types of interpretation. There's a word-for-word interpretation, and there's a concept interpretation. But if somebody's speaking in a tongue for about 30 seconds, and somebody gives you three words and saying God is good, that might be part of it, but there's a lot more, and God wouldn't just rob us of that. Are you with me? If he gives the interpretation, it's going to be something that would be pretty close, 20 seconds. You know, and I'm not putting any type of measurement. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what it looks like. All right, let's jump down to verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. There are times, I think, when we have these worship times where between the lyrics, there's just a free worship time. We haven't done a lot to train our congregation on this. I think it's something we should be doing. But there's a free time where you just offer up praise, and it's something that comes out of your heart. It could be a melody. It could be something where you just repeat, you know, something with a kind of a musical tune to it. It's at those times, I think, that there's some safety to sing in tongues. And that's what he's saying here. Sometimes I sing with understanding. Sometimes I sing in the Spirit. Sometimes I will pray with in the Spirit. Sometimes I pray with understanding. And so there's a difference that takes place there. Verses 16 and 17. Otherwise, he says, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? How is someone who doesn't understand going to be able to say amen with you if you're speaking in tongues? That's what he's saying. Verse 17, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. And that's consistent with what we were just saying. Look at verse 18 and 19. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul is one who says, I'm so glad I have this gift. In fact, I know that I use it more than you guys do, and I'm thankful that I do. I don't think that's boasting. I think he's just saying, I get the benefits from that. Verse 19, yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he's saying that, again, how do you do it? It's better to prophesy. It's better to speak with understanding. One more thing before we go on to the next group of verses. Look at verse 19. Where's the context that he's speaking of? So some people would say, well, this isn't for the church. Yeah, verse 19 says, yet in the church. When you're going through a church service, this is how you do it. Let's look at verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. Like we're talking about the guy, the bartender. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. So tongues can be used as a sign to speak to non-believers, especially when it's in their own tongues, and there's no way that this guy would speak a fluent foreign language. Verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, a church setting, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? If we have a service where there are people who we've gathered together and everybody's speaking in tongues, then it's wrong. It's unbiblical. And there are some people would say it's crazy. It's madness. When I was in high school, I had a friend who was, he wanted to date this girl who was a Christian. He went to a Pentecostal church. And so Fred began going to church with them, but they were Pentecostal. And so he was really out. First of all, he wasn't a believer. But then second, he would go to a church service and they're all speaking in tongues. And he just kind of scratched his head and he said, I don't know what those people are doing. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. And then I kind of gently, because I believe there were believers there, I gently said, look at, see this? This is what you have to understand about the gift of tongues. It's not supposed to be done everybody at one time. And we're going to get to some more parameters in just a few verses. But it would be craziness. There's a story of a group, a church that everybody was speaking in tongues. And the leader, the pastor, got up to say something that the Lord put on his heart. So he began speaking, and everybody was talking. Nobody heard him. And it was just chaos. And so he said, wait a second, I'm supposed to be sharing what the Lord's putting on my heart. But everybody else was saying, no, we're being led by the Lord to speak in tongues. There has to be order to it. And we're going to get to that shortly. There's got to be decent order done in the giftings of the use of tongues. Look at down at verse 26 through 40, through the end of the chapter, deal with exercising in the assembly. Verse 26 says this. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. So we have to keep that as the parameter. We're doing things that everybody would be blessed. Verse 27. Here's some more boundaries for speaking in tongues. 27 and 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, let one interpret. So if they're going to be gift of tongues being operated tonight, and we've never had this problem. Most people aren't very comfortable. There have been a few times that people have spoken tongues here, and there have been maybe twice that it's been interpreted. Granted, we're not the hugest assembly of believers together, but tonight, if you have the gift of tongues and you speak, and then another person speaks, if a fourth person goes to speak, there that's where it needs to be cut off at. There needs to be interpretation between one and three people. Everybody got that? That's how we operate by the book. Verse 28. But if there is no interpreting, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. So if there's no interpretation, you've gone through, the three people have shared, there's no interpretation, or one person shares, no interpretation, then what God says here is that you have to keep silent. Listen, I think you can do things kind of under your breath. I think you can still, you know, and nobody would hear. It's not going to stumble anybody. I think it's perfectly acceptable. And there'll be times when we're doing worship and John will be leading us and I'll be right between the lyrics and I'll just be like worshiping the Lord and I'll sing in tongues. But I don't sing out loud so that everybody can hear me either. So I think it's perfectly acceptable to be able to speak in tongues and it to be done somewhat privately. Let's jump down to verse 32. It says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And what this verse is saying is the Holy Spirit doesn't control you. You control the gifting that the Holy Spirit has given to you. So some people would think that when there's a gift that's going to be functioned, especially tongues, because it's kind of mystical, because we don't completely understand it, that it's going to be like all of a sudden it just kind of takes over us and then we go off into it, you know? Like you lose control. Listen, what is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Self-control. So we compare Scripture with Scripture. We have to understand that when somebody has a gift of tongues, you don't lose control, you gain control. And what it is something where by faith you exercise this gift. That's the huge hurdle for the people who want the gift of tongues, and then they pray for it, and then they say, well, I think I have it, but I don't know. Oh, I'm just making it up. If you really sincerely want the gift of tongues tonight, if you've never received it, if you want prayer for it, grab one of us, we'll pray for you. But you have to just exercise it. And if you have one word, then you say one word. If you've got a phrase, you say a phrase. If that's all you have is one word, you say one word over and over and over and over. It's like a muscle, and you just get strengthened in it. And then you learn to develop it, and it goes to a phrase, and then it goes to a sentence, and it goes to a paragraph, kind of. Are you with me? There's development of this gift. And if you haven't done the gift of tongues in a while, I find when I've been lapsed in my time of speaking in tongues, it just gets kind of like dried up. It gets kind of weak and it's not as fluid or fluent, if you will. But I'm absolutely in control of it. I don't speak in tongues unless I want to speak in tongues. And that's not a irreverent, you know, disrespectful approach. I just want you to know that you're completely in control of it. And I think it's important to understand that in the context of this passage, that it is under control. Have you seen those churches that have these weird revivals? I remember there was a Brownsville revival, and they were on 2020 when I think I was in college. I remember watching it with my mom, and I remember just getting so worked up. I was so mad. And there was one girl who was on there, and she said, it just, whenever the Holy Spirit comes on, I just get this tick, and I just... And I thought, wait a second, you just lost self-control. Is that what you're saying? I mean, and so I start throwing all these scriptures out. And wait a second, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. How could you say that? And they weren't taught biblically. And there was nobody to correct them. You know, we don't have that problem here. We don't get these nervous tics. You know, it doesn't. Are you with me? I think, and I'm not trying to be mean. I think that looks ridiculous. It's unbiblical, but I think it looks ridiculous. And I think people who don't know the Lord look at people like that, and they look at the church, and they say, those people are just weird. I have enough problems with being weird as it is. I don't need to add that to the mix. Look at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So we don't have a God who's a God of chaos or confusion, but he's one of peace. It's just simple. It's easy to understand. It's got a good flow to it. last thing we'll go through tonight before we have our communion is verse 40. And there's a principle. I spoke about it earlier, but in fact, I'm going to go back to verse 39, make sure that we understand this principle as well. Verse 39 says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." So if we're following the parameters, if one person spoke in tongues, there's been an interpretation, I wouldn't forbid it to be done again. We shouldn't forbid. It's a good gift. It's a valid gift, and it's a blessing to have this gift of tongues. Verse 40 comes in, and he says, within the scope of using your spiritual gifts, within the scope of prophesying and of speaking in tongues, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. The word for decently, it means just honestly, in a seemingly manner, in a good manner. It should look good. Our exercising of our gifts should look good. Should be appropriate, mature. And he says, not just decently, but also in order. And the root word of this, it speaks of a military rank. It speaks about functioning your gift under the authority of Jesus Christ. So when you're exercising your gift of tongues, it's just like any other gift. You do it under the authority of Jesus Christ. If I get up and I start doing things on my own authority, then I'm absolutely out of line. And I shouldn't be doing it. And the same is true for any other gift, especially with the gift of tongues. So we'll have the tithing. We're going to take a tithe tonight. If you tithe enough, you get the gift of tongues. Just joking. Trying to make a joke. We're going to have the elements come forward.